Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
This is to be a 49-yard field goal attempt. Mason Crosby, career long 58, as Larry mentioned. 53 the long this season. Hunter Bradley on the snap. J.K. Scott down on one knee, arm extended. Here's the snap. Placement. Kick end over end to the uprights. And it is no good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
And the Arizona Cardinals have defeated the Green Bay Packers 20-17. Oh, my.
Oh. That's enough to make you sick.
It went wide right.
But baby, it's cold outside. But baby, it's cold outside. Been hoping that you drop in. I'll hold your hands, they're just like ice.
That ended the Mike McCarthy tenure. Ended the Mike McCarthy tenure in Green Bay.
Beautiful.
You hear they banned this song, by the way? Radio in Cleveland? What did I tell you about it last year? I can't say it again. Drew gets mad when I call it a certain thing.
He said it's the start of the show. Did I talk about this?
Today?
Yeah.
No.
Baby, it's cold outside. Yeah. Tom played something else coming back from break. Didn't I talk about this already?
Yeah, you referenced it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
we didn't play the song, though.
Yeah, they played something else. But I'm like, God forbid we offend somebody when we play.
They decided they weren't going to play it anymore.
Tom played one of those other old-time songs, old-time Christmas songs that I love, the Jim Louth classics. This isn't a Jim Louth classic
album. People don't, I agree, people wouldn't consider this a Christmas song. This isn't a Christmas song.
What other time would you play it?
Well, you won't. You wouldn't
summer? What are you talking about?
I'm confused.
This is not like number four on the all-time Christmas classic.
When I hear this song, I think it's a Christmas song.
It's in Elf when he runs into the locker. Boom.
Oh, so that's a Christmas song.
It's a Christmas song.
It's not a Christmas
song. But else is her hay? It's going to be cold. And she puts him in a cooler, tailgate.
It's Hardy there.
I don't find it
Hardy.
It's not offensive.
Hardy,
you want to
come down here
song.
And do something?
I don't know what you expect me to do.
No, but I called it
Hardy,
I called
is this a Christmas song,
something last year. I won't be calling it that again. I called out the song for what it is.
This one,
and then
I would,
it was like offensive I called it a certain thing.
This one I would at least listen to arguments on. I will not listen to arguments on
Die Hard.
On Die Hard as a Christmas movie, because that's just stupid.
That
is just stupid.
Yeah, that's just like shooting up windows and guns and glass in your front at Christmas.
Right.
Christmas
yeah,
is not central to the plot.
I thought about doing a flow chart to find out if something is a Christmas movie, but all I could come up with is the movie Die Hard. If the answer is yes, then it's not a Christmas movie. Boom, the flow chart's over.
Bam.
But
done.
For this song, is it a Christmas song? I'm going to say no. It does take place in the winter, and it's obviously, you know, a wintertime thing, but it's not specific to Christmas. I don't think there's any.
Well, this is good then. So at the end of February, when we have 3 inches of snow on the ground, it's freezing, the cars are sliding, we're going to play this coming back from break. Everybody, what are you playing Christmas songs for?
You can play this in January and February.
Play it in March.
Absolutely.
It's still cold in March.
Yeah.
I'll take your hat. Your hair looks well. Mind if I
say yes, yes, yes. Say no.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I'm sure Shaughnessy loves this one.
Shaughnessy will go to this will be top three
just that
song.
Type of like, you know.
Do we have
real old school white guy song?
Do we have the angry white caller? Do we have the angry white cow choir? The Mitch Miller? Do they do the cover for that?
I
gotta find out.
This could easily go hand in hand with Mitch Miller. Do the Mitch Miller guys do this song?
Well, if there's a
baby, it's cold outside. Get your ass in the chimney.
But the woman who's singing in Mitch Miller, what does she say? Do they have to change the lyrics? I'm sorry. Yes, I'll stay. Yes.
So instead of one guy, it's a bunch of angry guys yelling no.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. No.
Wait,
no.
Did we not do a parody of this song?
Did it.
Yeah. It.
And I'm not sure we're going to play that.
No. Ill-advised.
No. I'm not sure that went over
so
well.
Do you know what happened with that?
What happened?
And
with
we did it to make fun of how weird the song is,
right,
and how creepy it is. But people took it the wrong way. We were mocking the song for being creepy.
On the same day, the Jimmy Stewart and Sarge Baby It's Cold Outside was released. The day or two before, and I didn't know that they were
another
producing
creepy
that
song.
And theirs was really good. I'm like, oh, this one isn't as good. So But I mean I don't know. Like Rich and I had the same idea at this, you know, at the same time.
What the hell is this?
I don't know.
Is this Mitch Miller?
Turn it up.
So you all can.
They really did do one. This is so bad.
You all SOBs could continue to think this is just a winter song, okay? This is Christmas. I think of Christmas here. Pumping
nice channel separation. Heavy left, right.
And we get it all in one here.
Yep.
Get ready.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Blah, blah, blah.
Are they
blah,
even
blah.
Singing? It doesn't even sound
Shut
like
up.
They're singing.
Let's see.
You don't want to go out there.
To break the spell.
Imagine if they were all in the same room recording this. There's 10,000 men yelling back at her every time she's...
What is she doing here? It's a men's club.
Just imagine the cloud of Lucky Strike smoke hanging in the ceiling of
that
recording studio.
And, yep, and empty bottles of scotch all over the floor. That right there tells you it's a Christmas song. The fact it's on that album. The Mitch Miller
that
Christmas.
Now officially makes it a Christmas song.
Take the winter song, stick it up your ear. Right.
You can include that in a Christmas mix, but it is not exclusively a Christmas song.
It's not on their
song.
Christmas album. That's a song by Diana Trask. Along with the Mitch Miller chorus.
So it's not on a Christmas album. It's not on the Mitch Miller Christmas album.
I'm sorry. I'll take that back. I'm wrong. Oh, well.
The artist listing is different on that one album, too. It's Sing Along with Mitch, and then in parentheses, and One Dame. That's just what
Excuse
it is.
Excuse me? A dog? Great Dane?
No.
Dame.
Taylor Dane?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, exactly.
Turn your headphones up.
They are up.
Yeah, I see. Really? Shock.
Yeah. What do you got here? What do you got?
I'm just saying.
What are you sucking on?
Cough drop.
Give me a cough drop. I'd like one.
Is everybody still sick, by the way? Because mine was gone for 3 days. It's back today.
These 3 days are the best I've felt in 10. So, Beatles going to have one? I'm going to have one, too.
I feel much better. I just have this lingering dry cough.
No, I feel worse today.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a nice honey lemon.
I like honey lemon.
Yeah, it's good.
Too menthol?
Yeah, it doesn't really have that, right? It's got a nice balance to it.
Yeah.
It's got a nice balance to it.
I don't want to burn my throat.
Mike is in Gloucester on Rob Gronkowski. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Why are people saying that Gronkowski is washed up? I don't get it.
I don't think they're saying he's washed up. I mean, do you see the same player you've seen over the last 3 years?
Well, what I'm seeing is he has 530 yards, right? You have seven guys on the team. You have Burkhead, you have Mikkel, you have Edelman. Brady can't throw every pass to Gronkowski now.
Who's Mikkel?
Sony Mikkel.
Okay.
That's how I pronounce his last name. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's how I view it anyways. If he was on the Browns, he'd be getting more targets. But how are they supposed to give him every target in the world? He has 530 yards. If he gets 800 yards, that's a successful season.
It's a really good season for a tight end. This guy's the best tight end to ever play the position.
Yeah, maybe not the best tight end to ever play the position, but if we didn't have Josh Gordon, I'm pretty sure he'd get a few more yards, maybe 200 more yards.
Josh Gordon
didn't even play
half
the games this year.
Yeah.
That's just my take on it anyways.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying, I mean, and I love the guy. You know my thoughts on him. If you listen to my show, you listen to me cover the team. I love Gronk. He's not playing like Gronk right now. That's all. Love to see it in Pittsburgh, man. Love to see him unleash him in Pittsburgh and go on a great playoff run, and he goes nuts right down the stretch. That'd be great.
Bean is on the Cape. Hi, Bean.
What up, Bean?
Bean, you there?
Yes, Bean from the Cape.
Yeah, that's
hey,
you.
Hey, Bean.
Go ahead.
How you doing, Gresham? So I wanted to talk about the defense.
Yeah. Why's your name Bean?
They get like Mr. Bean? A little consistency now. Do you think this is going to move forward into the playoffs? You think they're peaking at the right time?
Do you think the Patriots are peaking at the right time?
I don't think they're peaking.
Do they have consistency going into the playoffs?
Their offense went to the side. They went away for a good quarter and a half. That's not peaking. Peaking's rolling 38-10. That's peaking. Peaking pie.
Coming up next, we'll talk with Sean Grandy about your Boston Celtics. He will be with us coming up next. Also, coming up later in the hour, Tom Brady with Jim Gray. What a show we have put together here today.
The Brady.
Really is something.
Jim Brady, Sony Mickle, and Bean.
The Brady Jim Gray audio.
You're on Gresham Zone.
It may need two segments on Gresham Zone.
All right, next.
Zone and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zone and Beetle at Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Pass for Towns, deflected, punched away by Marcus Smart. Sitting down, goes over the shoulder with a lead pass. Kyrie returns it to Tatum. Two-hand slam and one of the highlights of the year. A fast break started by Marcus Smart sitting down, facing the wrong way.
Oh, my God. Somebody give me a sandwich, please. Marcus on his buttocks, as Forrest would say, making a very delicate pass.
Every night, Marcus Smart does something to affect the ball game that you cannot possibly predict. 7:47 to go in quarter number three. Boston 67, Minnesota 55.
That was Sean Grandy on the call for the Celtics win over Minnesota on Saturday night. And we welcome in Sean Grandy right now. You're on Zolak and Bertrand. Hey, Sean, what's up?
You guys tell me what's up. I mean, it's December. It's for another 12-win season. It's like this is like a rerun, isn't it? I mean,
oh yeah, 3 weeks ago you should have been taking calls to hear all the people bitching. Yeah.
Well, this is the. I think maybe one day we have to remember this time. 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 8 years from now, when the Celtics are 10 games under 500 in December and the Patriots are a normal team, right? They have a normal year where they go 4-7. Yep. And we're going to remember all the complaining that went on now when, you know, you don't realize where you are until you look down.
Wow, that's really depressing.
No, right, it though. Shouldn't be depressing. It's the opposite of depressing. It's look around and realize you're beaten. Look around at other teams in other cities and realize this is why people hate us, by the way. This is why people hate the Patriots. Like, because we complain, because you complain about 12-4.
Like, this is a good point because it was a frustrating time 4 or 5 weeks ago because the team wasn't jamming. We got to sit here. We got to take the calls. I'm a football guy. I call the games. You could see parts of the game getting progressively better. Go back to 2 or 3 weeks ago when the same things happened here with the Celtics, where it seems like, okay, their talent's starting to take over. They're coming together now.
And you can't overreact to it, right? But it's still, you say the things when you're in it, when you're in the turbulence, and you say, you know what, there's smoother air ahead. Trust me. But you're still in it, and it's uncomfortable, and so you complain about it. But
Gordon Hayward with 30 in that game on Saturday, and that play with Marcus Smart has made highlight reels left and right. So here's what I wonder. We're going to look back at that game, Celtics having won 4 or 5, 3 straight, and say, that's where it changed. Have things changed for the Celtics?
Yes, they have, pretty dramatically, but that doesn't mean it won't change again the other way at some point. It's a very long, long, long season. But for now, things are starting to happen the way they're supposed to happen. And if you said at the start of the year, as I think a lot of us did, hey, let's see what Gordon Hayward, let's see how more frequent his good games are 20 games in or 40 games in or 60 games in. If you step back, you realize this is sort of happening the way a lot of us said it was going to happen. But again, when you're in it, it's a mess. And I don't think if you want to complain about the Knicks game, and rightly so, that was a rock bottom moment a few weeks ago. And isn't it nice how the schedule is sending the Knicks back just a couple of weeks later, you know, to play here Thursday night. You look back at that, everyone had a right to complain. It was a terrible performance. It was a rock bottom moment. But you got to appreciate this, especially now. I tweeted this last night because it was worth pointing out. Minnesota is playing as well as anybody in the league, and they still are. Last night they held Houston to 29 points in the second half. Houston, with James Harden, 29 points in the second half, and the Celtics pretty much had that in every quarter against them on Saturday. So Minnesota is the number one defensive team in the NBA since the Jimmy Butler trade. They're still playing that well, and the Celtics scored 118 on Saturday. So you got to, you know, appreciate the fact that when we said the schedule's been kind of tough, the schedule's been kind of tough.
Where do you see Hayward going from here? I mean, he's not going to do that every damn night, but do you think this is really the springboard for him to where you could crank it up? And who does it hurt if he starts playing like this and playing like that at a consistent level?
I don't think it hurts anybody. I think it helps the Celtics. In terms of playing time, I think we knew that this was going to be the case. I guess if we want to draw on something, and I mentioned this in the postgame on Saturday night, if you want to really get cynical about the Celtics and their roster and the way things are right now, you can point out that in this stretch of 4 out of 5 wins in which they play their best basketball of the year, that one rotation player has missed all of these games, whether it was Jaylen Brown or whether it was Al Horford sitting out. So
it's kind of where I was going with the Jaylen Brown stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
does this hurt Jaylen Brown?
Well, he's the guy right now, right? Because you're playing well without him, just like you played, you know, you played poorly with other guys before. You had good games when other guys were sitting down. The Celtics had a nice game they played without Al Horford. You know, so I think Jaylen Brown is one of those guys who hasn't yet played like he did last year. Gordon Hayward's had a couple of those games now where he's played well. I think going with how I started by saying there is sort of regression to the mean or progression to the mean, you got to feel like Jaylen's going to figure it out at some point. But he's the guy sitting out right now, so he's the one that people look at. I think that Saturday was the best-case scenario for the Celtics. You built a team where when the Celtics were losing early in the year, they were having long droughts offensively. They were having segments of the game in which either they couldn't score or they weren't defending. Saturday was the perfect example of what this team can be with their depth, because there wasn't a single segment of the game in which they weren't either competitive or dominating, because they could go to all these different combinations. And in theory, if Jaylen Brown is willing to accept the same role that Gordon Hayward and pretty much everybody else has, then why would it be a problem when he starts playing well, which every indication is he will.
You mentioned that Al Horford had a night of rest against Cleveland. They had a nice win without him. But that game that came after maybe what was his most engaging performance. He was very much engaged. He looked energetic in the previous game against New Orleans. What is it for an NBA veteran of his age now in terms of what's the normal rest? Because it seems like more and more, you know, guys in the league are getting – scheduled rest from their head coaches. Is this just what we should expect for someone his age?
Well, it is, and it's a great question, because the way you phrase it, what's normal, it's sort of, we don't know yet, because this is all new. This is the new normal of resting guys and picking out games in the schedule. The Celtics did this exact same thing with Al Horford last year at this exact same time of year. You said, well, wait a minute, there was a couple of days between the game. Why would you? I think the Celtics played maybe on a Sunday and then again on a Friday, and he sat out the Wednesday game. It was something like that, where it created this 3 or 4 day gap where he didn't have a game, and he came back and went on a tear right after that, even though the Celtics had back-to-back games in that stretch. So it's, you know, it's strategic. You're using eye test, you're using sleep science for whatever that is worth, and rest, and you're mapping out 82 games as the Celtics are in this very bizarre time right now where they just played, I think, 7 games in 11 nights, and now it's 2 games in 11 nights. It's something like that. So you're, instead of getting caught up in that, you're looking at the entire 82 and saying, how do you get Al Horford to play 30 minutes a game for 75 games? Maybe that's the target, or 70 games or whatever it turns out to be. And you just, you know, you're picking your spots throughout the year, because this is what science and the eye test tells you is the right thing. 10 years from now, we may find out, oh, that was completely wrong. You should have been resting more or less. But that's the new normal.
Hey, Max, give you anything on Wallach from the other night? Any screw-ups? Any good
Max, Max, he loves it. He loves the change of pace. He loves the energy. He loves the extraordinary preparation with which John, you know, arrives at the ballpark, particularly on a night you're going to need it when you're playing the Cavs.
Oh, I would screw with him so badly. I would do things during the broadcast just to.
Well, why don't you
see if he's on his game?
Why don't you get Sosie some strategic rest and get Wallach in there for a game, and you can have the same kind of fun.
Bob's not going to get Wally pimped. No way. That guy's not giving up anything.
We only have
20 of them here.
I understand. You know? I understand the dynamic. There is no strategic rest in the NFL.
Yeah, we just like to stay at the Four Seasons like you guys do instead of the suites.
Listen, it's a rough gig, but some of us have to. I mean, that's why Max, you know, you think Max would stay in some of those places you guys stay in?
No, oh,
he hang himself with his shoelaces. I mean.
All right, John. Celtics going to stomp the Knicks this time around or what?
As I said, if you follow the NBA long enough, you know that these things tend to work out that way. The Knicks were really playing well that way. They won three in a row. That was a game the Celtics, when they lost to them, the Knicks were playing very well. Now they're not. They lost at home last night to Washington. Trey Burke, who killed them, is out hurt right now. So it's sort of set up for you probably shouldn't have wandered back into this gym so quickly, game on Thursday.
All right. Very good. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to your call. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys.
All right. Sean Graney joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand as the Celtics enjoy some more time off this week. Time off last week. Time off this week. Schedule has been.
I think it's packed in around Christmas for him, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's true for everybody, I think. But they've had some days off here between last week and this week to sort of maybe get right. They need it. They've won 4 or 5 now.
Everybody needs it.
Trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
And hopefully they continue that against the Knicks.
What are you laughing at, Jim? Jim Gray stuff? Tom Brady, Jim Gray stuff?
That's what we're going to get to.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you laughing at?
This video, this guy on the
oh, the guy that surfboard. Just can't get off the cruise ship surf thing? Yeah. Hysterical. Fat
just
ass.
Can't get up.
Fat ass. They put him on that boogie board and they stand him. He's on a cruise ship. So he falls, he gets up in the corner, he can't get out of the waves. They're screaming, trying to grab him. Fat. They had to cut the water off. So if you're fat, don't go on that.
All right, coming up next, we will get to Brady and Jim Gray last night on Westwood One. That's next.
Okay.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins return to action tonight as they play the first of two in Florida. They'll visit the Panthers at 7 o'clock. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers on the call. It all starts with the pregame at 6:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Meanwhile, the Celtics offer another couple of nights. They won't go again until they take on the Knicks at the TD Garden on Thursday. Red Sox will, in fact, head to the White House after the invitation was extended. Alex Cora says he has a chance now to use the platform in the right way. The players will not be required to attend. The Dodgers decided to re-sign manager Dave Roberts to a 4-year contract extension. That'll keep him on board through the 2022 season. Eagles over the Redskins last night in Monday Night Football 28-13. Patriots getting ready for their visit to Miami on Sunday afternoon. Zolak and Bertrand are down at Gillette Stadium. More with them coming up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Headlines are brought to you by Puddingstone Place of Wellesley, Middleborough, and Danvers, helping children with autism and other developmental disabilities. Immediate openings now available. Visit puddingstoneplace.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe, and the Beatle. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's up? 9-3, but you know what? The only reason I've been playing 19 years is to get to that 1,000 yards. And I did it, so that's it. I'm out!
Yeah.
Time to ride off into the sunset. Nah, gotta get back to work.
Don Corleone. Trust me, at the top it isn't lonely. Everybody acting like they know me, dog. Don't just say you think, you gotta show me. You gotta bring it.
Tom Brady on Instagram yesterday with his little video. Kind of cars and so.
I get some Aston Martin.
Oh, nice.
Brady's face isn't moving much.
Like no,
the forehead skin and the other one's just very taut.
Think he's had some work.
Yeah. Looks like a mannequin. It's Don Corleone, not Don Corleone.
Yeah, but, you know, for the rap song, it sounds better to say Corleone.
Yeah.
Just change your guy's name.
That's pretty funny. Ha-ha. I'm off. Nope. Going back to work. A lot of football to play.
Last night, Brady, Jim Gray, Hardy, what do we have from that interview?
Oh, all kinds of stuff. Let's take a look here. Let's start with that fake retirement that Brady just alluded to there in his thing. I don't know what Jim Gray's going to say. I haven't heard these yet either.
Tom, a stunning revelation.
Stunning revelation.
Yeah,
Tom, a stunning revelation on Instagram this afternoon. You have retired.
Why?
We're never going to get through these.
Why is this so corny?
I'll stop stopping it.
It gets worse. Okay.
Why?
This is nothing. So just
a stunning revelation. You've retired.
Just continue to go through this because you got to get to the juicy stuff. Okay. Just
for about 5 seconds.
Oh yeah, that was a good edit there too. After the laugh,
you have retired.
For about 5 seconds. It was pretty fun to do, but definitely not in my short-term plans or my long-term plans at this point. I love playing. It's great for us to win yesterday. 9-3 was a pretty good place, but the last quarter of the season is when it all counts, and we head to Miami, which has historically been a pretty tough place to play, and we're looking for a division championship if we win.
All right.
Okay. T-shirt game. Nice.
T-shirt game.
Free swag.
All right. Well, hopefully they left the retirement thing alone after that. So let's move on.
He got a haircut too, by the way. He got the cheapy stuff.
I'm sorry.
I know he goes to this guy Penny down there on Newberry Street.
Yeah.
Like Penny cut his hair that way. Probably charged him like $400 for it.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe hair that short. Jim could get his hair.
He said he got the cheapy stuff. Maybe he went over to the Supercuts there in Chestnut Hill.
Very nice place.
I know you were doing it in jest, but what was the reaction that was drawn from just that post?
Oh, come on. No, he's
now
asking,
he wants
he's
to know about the reaction.
Hold on, he's
that's
asking
a terrible
about the
follow-up.
All right.
I know you were doing it in jest, but what was the reaction that was drawn from just that post?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I think everyone was having fun with it. I hope everyone knows I was pretty sarcastic. It was an off-season thing where I was running in the sand, and I made a little joke about 32 rushing yards, and it took me 19 years to get to 1,000, which is a pretty pretty big number for someone that was never meant to run much in the NFL.
I was there that day you were running in the sand, and it took almost as...
Oh, my God. This is the worst one we've ever heard.
Got a piece of paper.
Okay.
I'll make a list. 1, 2, 20. If I am going to run in wet sand and train and sweat and go to the beach and slug through the water like Rocky and... Yeah,
Apollo.
Who's the dude, the other dude, the black dude with the
Apollo.
Mustache. Apollo Creed. Give me 15 guys, dudes, that you'd want to stand there and actually watch you run in the sand. Let's go. Any coaches, maybe your brother, your dad, maybe me, Jim, T-Bone.
Jim Gray.
So the best quarterback to ever play is training somewhere, obviously in the sand, which I think is L.A., right? Because this guy's L.A. based. Who picks up the phone? Is it Brady? Is it the handlers? Is it the agent?
Stedman.
Is it Stedman? Was Stedman?
Well,
you know what?
Let's run in the sand.
Was Stedman holding the boogie board? And did he have a tank top on with beach shoes? And Oprah's probably under a... Oprah's probably under a tent.
It is time to R.U. N.
You understand what I'm saying?
Your foot sinks down in that sand. It's harder to pull it up. But you do it, world.
Because that's life.
And world, as I like to say, we keep going.
I was there that day you were running in the sand. And
stop!
It took
Picture the weirdness, okay? Picture the weirdness. Here you are on the beach.
Is Gray there like with a stopwatch in his hand? Like, what is he doing?
There you are on the beach. Say your family went to California. Okay, we're going to Marina Del Rey, whatever. You take the kids, hit the beach. Water's cold, can't get in. This tall, skinny kid over there running. It looks a little bit like Tom Brady. Let's go take a peek. Wow, look, there's Tom Brady. And there's some weird dude in a sweater and slacks on the beach. Oh, that's Jim Gray.
I can't wait for our first, like, warm day in May, but not quite hot enough to go swimming. Brazil's feel-like temperature, and it's going to be this type of day where you might go down and see Tom Brady running on the sand. You really can't go in the water, but you just stand there on the beach. It's warm enough to do that.
Jim actually has the video of him up on the beach, and he's running, he's digging. Okay, I know Ben. Ben's there behind him. Ben's training.
I was there that day. You were running in the sand, and it took almost as long as it did to get to 1,000 yards.
What?
What did?
As it took for him to like run down the
get
beach
it how
in the
long
sand.
It took you because you're running through sand like sand through the hourglass of time. These are the days of our lives.
I like what you did there. That's good.
All right, let's focus in on this 1,000-yard thing, because Brady just admitted it took him 19 years to do it, so it's no big deal. But then he was never supposed to run at all, so maybe it is kind of a big deal. Hey, Gray, don't let this one go yet, okay?
It took you 265 games to reach 1,000 yards. That's the most in NFL history, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. You now overtake Y.A. Tittle, who did it in 161 games. So you had 104 more games.
Yeah, well, he must not have been much of a rushing quarterback either then. But just a yard at a time, I'm fine with that. But hopefully we're at our best when I'm getting the ball out of my hands and into the hands of guys who can actually do something with it. And I got a lot of those guys, Gronk, Julian, James White, Josh Gordon, Dorsett. I mean, I got a big group that I can get it to, and they're much more dangerous with the ball in their hands than I am.
Did he mention Chris Hogan in there?
No.
Okay, hold on. Let's just...
We're at our best when I'm getting the ball out of my hands and into the hands of guys who can actually do something with it. And I got a lot of those guys, Gronk, Julian, James White, Josh Gordon, Dorsett. I mean, I got a big group.
He mentioned Dorsett before he'd think to mention Hogan.
That's a slight. All right.
Stop. He just forgot him.
One more.
If you go to the Patriots.com, see the post-game video of them in the locker room, he and Hogan are hugging it out. They're fine. We're reaching here. Go ahead.
All right. Belichick, John, with Thielen there on the sideline. So, okay, finally, something that someone has some interest in.
Tom, have you –
Tom, does Bill ever say, hey, Tommy?
Tom.
Go ahead.
Tom.
I want my quarterback back. That's what I want.
I want Gronk back. I want the quarterback
I want Gronk back, and I want 12 back.
Tom.
Okay, I'm all done.
Tom, have you been on the other end of what Adam Thielen got yesterday from Bill Belichick?
You know, I've been on the other end of a lot of his disciplining us as players types of moments from Coach Belichick. And it's pretty funny now when I look back. You know, he's a very competitive coach, and that's why he's been doing it for as long as he has. He has a competitive team, and certainly I'm like that. I'm competitive by nature, too, and your emotions are running high. It's a physical game. There's ups and downs of the games, and, you know, it gets chippy. I've done that. I've run to the other sideline. I remember last year I saw Mike Vrabel when he was coaching for the Texans, and he and I had a few words, and we're, you know, great friends. So it's just the nature of competition. It's not like your Tyson Fury Wilder where they kiss at the end of the match.
Who kiss what?
I don't know.
Sorry?
I don't know.
What? Kiss?
Tom.
This is just weird. This interview is just weird. Isn't it?
Yeah, it got to a new place with the I was there that day while you were running.
It's money you people can't even
do you know what it is? It's Brady's better friends than Jim with Jim Gray than he wants to let on. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. I was there that day you were running in the sand and
I think he likes him better off this stuff. He told him he's been playing golf with him forever, along the same club out in California.
You know what? I don't agree with that.
What?
I don't agree with that. I think Brady is sort of friends with Jim Gray because he's like the guy that, like, he's not the money guy, but he's the guy that gets him to the money guys. Not that Brady couldn't do that on his own. It feels like Jim Gray's introduced him to a lot of people.
He coordinates things for him.
You know?
Like sort Stephen, of a runner.
All of a sudden, Stephen sort of and Oprah, the guy that owns the Brewers, the Milken Institute.
Milken! Yeah!
It's a lot of and big it took
money almost
people,
as
Jim
long
Gray,
right. as it did to get to 1,000 yards.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is that it? We don't have any more of this, do we?
No. The day I was there watching you run in that sand.
Tom.
Oh, man.
But what is he? But Jim, if that's the case... What is he doing, and how much more money is he making by being?
It's like, not about money.
Jim just said he's
people.
The guy who gets
him
to the money.
He's going to need seed
guys.
Money for his B12 if he wants to expand it at some point, right? Or he doesn't need it, I guess.
I don't think it's all that, though, either. I think there is a quality with
him. Tell
him,
get ready for big expansion of the TB12 thing globally and across this country. Get ready for it.
You need it's money. True. You need money. Go to a bank. Hi, okay. I'm Tom Brady. How much do you need? You know,
God, people that have no money don't do that.
You're
people
Jim Gray
money,
that
get money
day.
From other people.
Hey, hon. You know what I'm doing today? Hey, good morning. How are you? I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to have my half of a grapefruit, a little muffin on the side, and some orange juice. I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to go watch Tom Brady run around in the sand. That's my day today. What dude does that? That's weird.
I don't think it's about that. They were in California, right?
It was in May. It was right around the Oprah time.
Yeah, Brady's working out.
He probably did all that stuff in 2 days.
Yeah, they probably, you know
probably
what?
Hung out
follow
for two
me
days.
Around. Hey, Tom, I'm going to follow you around for 2 days and see what you do in your life. Come on, Scratchy.
Come on, Scratchy. We were going to get to the Josh McDaniels situation with Green Bay earlier, and we didn't get to that before we got to Sean Grandy. So why don't we do that coming up next? Josh McDaniels being rumored as a leading candidate for what's happening in Green Bay, and now you're starting to get the reports about what has gone on in Green Bay this year. Who do you think's leaking some of that? Maybe it's the guy who just got fired. We'll get to that coming up next.
Solak, and Bertrand. Middays on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Solak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. You can hear the podcast of Solak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com.
Welcome back to Solak and Bertrand from Gillette Stadium today.
I had one more Christmas question for you. Just a quick Christmas question for you.
This is never going to be quick.
Well, it's quick.
We're already on a shortened segment here.
So the fact we're now in the month of December.
Yes, we are.
Does the frequency of Francis, your elf,
yeah,
and I have an elf at home also, does the fact that it's December, does the elf tend to be a little more, little more movie? Moves around a little bit more?
A little more movie.
A little more active? Sort of dormant, and then
no, it's the same every night.
You know, like when ET,
it's not that hard.
When ET,
it goes back.
They start coming back.
Comes back.
Everything start. All the lights start going off. I mean, it's getting close to like hammer time. You know,
my kids were not good.
My kid's leaving notes out now. He wants Elf to leave him something.
My kid was not good. The kids, both kids, were not good last night. We took the iPod Touch away from my daughter.
Yep.
We took the basketball hoop away from my son, put it up on the bookshelf,
hoop away.
I took it off the door.
Where the hell do you have your hoop?
Took it off the door. Indoor the little
one.
Indoor one.
Is he slamming?
Yeah. Loves it. Plays for like an hour a day. Nope. Took him away, put him on the high on the shelf above. They woke up this morning. Elf decided he's going to go there.
He went there with the
toys. Yes. Yep.
Bleep hit the fan.
So, knew what happened.
Okay.
Never know.
So, the elf in your house is very aware of, tuned in as to what's going on as far as behavioral patterns.
He's got to report back. I mean, yeah.
Okay, that's all. That's all the question. I just didn't know if it moved quick.
But they were, yeah, they this morning, I got, yeah, they couldn't believe
it. Because mine woke up thinking, hey, he didn't move. He didn't move. And I'm like, I don't know why. I mean, maybe you were good. You don't have to move. Or maybe you're bad. He's telling me something. Francis, huh? Yep, Francis.
Goes by Frank sometimes.
Frank and Francis. Piece of work.
You ready?
Yeah.
According to Sports Illustrated, MMQB, story by Burt Breer, who will be with us tomorrow.
Yep.
And Kalen Kaler. I don't know who that is. It must be one of their newer writers. They write that the issues, friction between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy escalated throughout the season, in part to Rodgers' tendency to regularly change McCarthy's play calls at the line of scrimmage. According to the report, Rodgers has long had the autonomy to change the plays on the field as he sees fit. He's been doing that a long time. During the Packers' start to the season, 4-7-1, Rodgers reportedly resorted to that right more than coach Mike McCarthy would have liked.
Oh. Gee, I wonder where you got that from.
The rift between the two added to Green Bay's season full of drama and contributed to Mike McCarthy's firing on Sunday. Here's a quote from the story. Rodgers changes plays so often that it can be hard for McCarthy to get into a rhythm as a play caller. McCarthy might call the same play three times in a game. without the play actually being run as he called it. And if McCarthy calls a play that Rodgers doesn't like early in the game, that can sour the mood for the rest of the game. How would you know that if you didn't talk to Rodgers or McCarthy? And really, McCarthy.
You don't really need to, I think, talk to either one of them. I mean, if you're there and you live it every day and you're a player, or if you're a coach, or if you're somebody in management, you're hearing this and you're seeing this, obviously transpired on a daily basis. I told you, they have no interaction once he comes to the sideline. It's Aaron's offense. Seems like it's his team. He's going to do what he wants, and Mike's going to try and call the plays he wants.
Did you see
I believe it's totally 100%. You know what it does,
Aaron Rodgers has an interest in who the next guy would be.
Oh, that's nice. Since it seems like he's becoming real bitchy, right?
Really has.
Like, just like this bugs him, that bugs him. Everybody's got to relax. He doesn't talk to people at home anymore.
So does that make Josh McDaniels a good or bad candidate for what's happening in Green Bay?
I'd say bad.
I'd say good. I would say good because he's got the respect of Tom Brady. So that sort of adds to his resume
but
going in there when Tom Brady – does Tom Brady like Josh McDaniels?
Loves him.
Loves him.
Okay.
So you need a coach that's going to be able to come in and have the upper hand on Aaron Rodgers.
Is that going to be the case?
Isn't it?
I don't know. Maybe Aaron's game, and I think every guy's different where, you know, like baseball star.
Everybody knows that Brady loves McDaniels. Okay. So if McDaniels goes there and Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, can Aaron Rodgers keep bitching and changing plays? He can't anymore because now everybody, including Green Bay's own fans, could say, wait, if Tom Brady loved playing, you know, working with this guy over all the years that they were together, how come Aaron Rodgers can't figure it out?
What about
Then it will look it'll make Aaron Rodgers look bad.
Eric Bieniemy, what the hell is he on this list for? There's a list of four guys as far as odds to become the next head coach: Josh McDaniels, Lincoln Riley, John DeFilippo, and Eric Bieniemy, the former running back.
He's the Chiefs' offensive coordinator.
He is?
Yes. He got elevated when Nagy left.
Wow. Okay.
That's three in a row. That would be three in a row to get hired as head coach.
You know what's great is that Zoe's at an age now.
My ignorance for Kansas City is unbelievable.
All these guys that like Zoe played with. And then like great players.
You look down on these guys,
Good coaches.
He had the greatest Berman nickname of all time, though. Eric sleeping with Bieniemy.
It's pretty good.
Not bad.
It's good. That's top three.
Yep.
That's up there.
Z-O-I.
Remember when Doug Peterson became the head coach and I didn't know for like 2 weeks?
Yeah, no, I did.
We were at CBSC.
It's like 2 weeks later. I remember that. I
came up on the screen and I go, oh my God!
Peterson! I'm like, yeah, he was named the coach like 10 days ago. Where have you been?
They're going to keep getting jobs until one of them flames out.
You know what it is?
Badly.
The only thing you hear coming out of Kansas City is Andy Reid. We never hear about the assistants. Yeah, you never hear about
Bieniemy doesn't call the plays. He's just the offensive coordinator. But Nagy didn't really call the plays late last season.
One of my good friends, Eugene Chung, was there for years and I had no clue. He's the running game coordinator there.
Good friend.
And now now he's the running game.
Guys must be keeping in touch with each other.
We were out there for the Monday night game. That's when the Patriots got their ass kicked. What was that? A couple years ago. What, 14? I see him and the Chiefs. What the hell are you doing here? I've been coaching here. I'm running game coordinator.
You know why all those guys get mentioned in the media, too?
Why?
Because they're very friendly with the media.
Oh, interesting.
Why do you think Dave Tube, the special teams coach, keeps getting mentioned?
Dave Innertube.
Andy Reid must just tell his coaches, listen.
His name's Inner.
Andy Reid must just tell his coaches, listen, feed stuff to the media. You'll get mentioned over and over and over again because when he was with Philly, it happened, and he was with Kansas City, it's happened, and all these guys love Jesus. All the guys coming out of the Andy Reid tree.
I'm surprised Nagy didn't thank Burt Breer in his acceptance speech. Jim Stouch got it mentioned. Burt didn't.
Jim Stouch.
Yeah. That's right, the Gase thing. Remember when Gase came out? Burt said, this guy's good.
I just think that given all this drama that's there, Josh McDaniels, more and more, based on those odds that we just showed on TV, looks more and more like he's the best candidate for them and is obviously the favorite for that very reason, the quarterback. He's dealt with a quarterback. When you're making a list of quarterbacks, you're trying to figure out who's better than Aaron Rodgers.
I understand that.
The list is very short.
But if Aaron likes to play his game his way and doesn't like to be talked to or touched during a game, some guys don't. Some guys you can't talk to during a game. So all of a sudden, if Josh can become the head coach, is Aaron going to have to take a seat at the end of the bench as soon as he comes to the sideline? Get the pad out. Let's go. We're going over stuff.
Well, yeah, that's called being coached.
Some guys resist that because I'm so good.
Here's Rodgers' quote.
See, you better make sure you and Mr. Rodgers are all square. Everybody looks good here.
Does this sound? Actually, you know what? We're running a little behind. Okay. Why don't we get to this quote from Aaron Rodgers after we get to headlines? 90 seconds. He says the start of the quote is, "I enjoy being coached." I'll read the rest of the quote, and you tell me if it sounds like a guy who enjoys being coached. That right after the headlines.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.